And verse number 20, there's seven great prophecies in the New Testament, major prophecies, and they're always followed by instructions on what to do in the light of prophecies being fulfilled. And it's not get discouraged, it's not throw in the towel or give up or say, well, the world's just going to get worse and worse and worse, so why even try? That's what some people do when they see the world getting worse. And it does seem like things are getting darker, doesn't it? I mean, in the sense of evil. Does it seem like our government is getting darker in the sense of evil? It seems like our neighborhoods are. It seems like our churches are. I can't believe the things that are being allowed to take place in churches now. Some of the music that's creeping in, some of the behavior, some of the Bibles that are being written and read. It seems like the educational system is getting darker in the sense of evil. It's just getting darker and darker and darker. And Jude is one of the seven major prophecies of the New Testament. But whenever there's a large prophecy in the New Testament on the last days, it's always followed by what you should do in the light of that prophecy. And notice it doesn't say quit, but rather it says this in verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And so Jude talks about the last days and how bad it's going to be, but he says, but ye, beloved, here's what you should do in the light of that. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep in love with God, verse 21. Look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be soul winners, verse 20 and 23. Occupy yourself with these things in the light of the world getting worse and worse and worse. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't say, why even try, as if there's nothing we can do to stop it. Well, that's not what these writers said. And you look at any of the seven prophecies, and they're always followed by instructions on what to do right afterwards. But I want to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. Believe it or not, it's been about almost 5 years since I've touched on this subject from the pulpit, although I allude to it often. I haven't brought a message about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So that's why I purposely had us sing a song we're not too familiar with here. And just a moment ago, it says, there are blessings you cannot receive till you know Him in His fullness and believe. You're the one to profit when you say, I am going to walk with Jesus all the way. And then the chorus is a prayer, and it's a prayer to the Holy Spirit. It says, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. There's many other songs, too, where there are actually songs that are sung to the Holy Spirit. And I've always asked the question, if there are songs, if it's not wrong to sing to the Holy Spirit, is it wrong to talk to Him? I don't think so. Notice what it says here, praying, verse 20, in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, we're supposed to pray in the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you a verse here in a moment. We're supposed to pray to the Holy Spirit, but what about? What about? What are the realms of the Holy Spirit? What are the realms that we are supposed to be in communion with Him about? We studied last week the armor of God. You may have remembered that. I showed you seven armaments that we're supposed to take in this battle against evil. And the last one we talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit and living for others. It says in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. We are supposed to pray in the Holy Ghost. And so it sounds like He is supposed to have an active part in our walk with the Lord. We're supposed to have an active part in our walk with the Holy Spirit. And as I often point out, these four quick doctrinal points, and then I want to give you something. If you have a piece of paper, you might want to jot down a bunch of things here. That I guess what I'm going to call this message, a title, I'll call it The Realms of the Holy Spirit. What should I talk to the Holy Spirit about? If I'm supposed to commune with Him, what am I supposed to commune with Him about? Well, the Bible has some answers, and I'm sure it has all of them, but I'll give you some that I've learned. But we need to understand again tonight, number one, the Holy Spirit is a person. Number two, the Holy Spirit is God. Number three, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And number four, we should commune with the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Let me just review those really quickly. I bring that outline out, I don't know how many times in my preaching, probably a dozen times. Because I want people to understand, because a lot of people have these misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. Like He's just some force or some feeling or something spooky or bizarre that takes place in other churches and has nothing to do with us. And we miss the real source of power and help in our lives when we ignore the Holy Ghost. Have you been ignoring the Holy Spirit? How has your communion been this week, for instance? Have you talked to the Holy Spirit this week? Probably most of us could say, I've talked to the Father this week. I've talked to the Son, the Lord Jesus, this week. But have you talked to the Holy Spirit this week? The Holy Spirit is a person. There are 25 references in the New Testament where He is referred to as a person and personality in the sense of words like He, Him, Himself, Me, and I. 25, that's how many I've found. Maybe you can find more, but I have found 25 times where the Holy Spirit is referred to as He, Him, Himself, Me, or I. Referring to a person. Now, we all believe that. We all believe in our doctrinal statement that God exists eternally in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We don't believe He's just some force or some feeling. Or God's active force in creation, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say in their doctrinal statement. But not a person. I can show that to you in their Bible. We disagree with them in a lot of things, including that. We believe He's a person. We believe He's God. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. We believe He's God. When Ananias lied to the Lord, Peter rebuked him and said, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. He said, you haven't lied to man, you've lied to God. When you lied to the Holy Spirit about your commitment. See, Ananias, at least he had been speaking to the Holy Spirit. I mean, he had some things right in his life. He was communing. He was asking the Holy Spirit what he should do with the money that he got from the sale of his land, but then he went back on what he said he was going to do. And Peter said, you lied to God. And this fellow dropped dead. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Number three, He lives inside of you. Every single one of us believers in this New Testament age, this dispensation, the age of grace, age, church age, whatever you want to call it, since the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior, God's blessed Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you in fulfillment to the prophecy of John chapter 14 and verse 17, when Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is what He was saying to His disciples before His crucifixion. And now we know that everybody, as we study other scriptures, since their salvation, the Holy Spirit has indwelt you. He has literally come inside of your physical body and dwells inside of you tonight if you're saved. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. God, the person, lives inside of our bodies. And then we are supposed to commune with Him. We are supposed to commune with Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 14, it says, and the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. The communion, that word is usually translated from the Greek word koinonia. It's usually translated into the word fellowship, as we see in Philippians 2 and verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy. It talks about fellowship of the Spirit, communion with the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be having communion or fellowship with Him. This is what the Bible says. But then the question comes up, what about? What about? And this is where we need to understand the doctrine of the Trinity. The Godhead is the name the Bible uses. It doesn't use the word Trinity, but we know that it's a Trinity. God exists eternally in those three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all equal. They're one God, but they have different roles. And your relationship and your prayer life to them all should fit into the realm of their role. For instance, the day I got saved, I didn't ask the Holy Spirit to save me. Who did I ask to save me? Jesus Christ. Because neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4 and verse 12. All right? The reason I did not ask the Holy Spirit to be my Savior, that's not His realm. Christ died for our sins. He's buried and He rose again. Jesus Christ is the Savior. That's the realm. And so I ask, I pray to Christ to save me. We need to understand there's different realms of the Godhead, and we ought to have fellowship with God the Father in the realms that He is over. We should have fellowship with God the Son in the realms that He is over in our life. And we should have fellowship with God the Holy Spirit in the realms that He is over, which is a lot. For the believer, I'm going to spit out about 18 of them here in just a moment. Realms that have to do with our relationship to the Holy Ghost. And if we become negligent of these realms, we are not going to be as fit for service as we could be. Now, this relationship we have with the Holy Spirit, you know, my own personal encounter in my own experiential religion is that this is probably the second greatest truth that ever that I ever learned. And the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my relationship to God is when I met Jesus Christ and I was saved. But the second greatest truth I think that was ever revealed to me was when I met the Holy Spirit and I realized that there was a realm that He wanted to help me with in my life that was out of the realm of the Father and out of the realm of the Son. And I began to rely on Him, for instance, the realm of power. You shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost. And I went from being a powerless, completely defeated Christian to one that would then have the strength through the Holy Spirit to be able to stand all of these years, and I'm not pretending even that I'm perfect or anything. But God's kept me propped up for about 30-some years since I met the Holy Ghost. And have relied on Him in that realm for power. And so we need to know the Holy Spirit. We need to know the Trinity. We need to know the Father's role. He's the head of the Trinity. He's the lawgiver. He's the ruler. He's the one that is in charge. The Son's role was one of submission and a subjection of obedience and service and example and suffering and following the Father and preaching and teaching and healing and service. And I can relate to Him in all these things. Many times when we are suffering, it says we have an intercessor, Jesus Christ, who suffered like us. And when we think of what it's like as human beings to suffer in the flesh, that's not in the realm of the Father. He didn't suffer in the flesh. That's not in the realm of the Holy Spirit. He didn't suffer in the flesh. But God the Son suffered in the flesh. And therefore, I can relate to God the Son when I'm going through physical suffering. Because that's a realm he lived in. He was tested at all points like as we are. And yet without sin. And it says, because he suffered like us, we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who sits in the heavens, who knows what it's like to be tempted. And he is our mediator. And when it comes to suffering, I can run to Jesus. I can say, Lord, you know what this is like. When we're persecuted, it wasn't the Father that was persecuted. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that was persecuted. It was Jesus who was persecuted. And so he can relate to us in that realm of persecution when people mock you out, when people call you names. Jesus went through all that. You can go to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, help me. You know what this is like. He suffered. He died for our sins. I imagine, should God ever call one of us to be a martyr? I don't know. Depends on where God leads us. Depends on what happens in our country. I have no idea. But Jesus tasted death for every man. That's something that's in his realm. Forgiveness is in the realm of the Father. Forgiveness is in the realm of the Son. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. We can confess our sins to our Father. He is our Father in the sense that we are his children. Therefore, when we have needs, that's his in his realm, especially in the physical realm. We can go to the Lord God, the Father, and pray for money or a car or food or clothing or lodging or healing. These are the things that are in his realm because he is our Father. And just as fathers in this room that are good fathers, if you have little children, when your children come and have some physical needs, they can come to you. That's your realm. I don't go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need help paying these bills. I need a new car. I need some clothes. I need a place to live. I don't go to him, but it's not his realm. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? I hope that you're starting to see here that we're supposed to be in communion with the Trinity. There's not a drop. There's not one verse in the Bible that says, talk to the Father, talk to the Son, but totally ignore the Holy Spirit. And yet that's how so many people live. And so I want you to think of the Trinity, and I know the Godhead is beyond our understanding, but he has given us roles here. Jesus is our brother. And Jesus knows what it's like to live in this earth and to go through infancy and childhood and to be a teenager and to be a young adult and to have to work and to have to labor and have to sweat and to be tired and to ache and to hurt and to be tried by Satan in all points like as we are, yet without sin, and to suffer physically and have to have medics come from heaven, angels, and restore his body, and what it's like to be so sick physically, or weak, I should say, physically, that angels had to minister him back to health. That's his realm, and that's where we can relate to him. But what in the world is the realm of the Spirit? What's the realm of the Spirit? We're supposed to walk with him. We're supposed to talk with him. We're supposed to pray with him. If he lives inside of us and he came to help us, I've been through this so many times with you, you probably know what I'm going to say, but he I'm sure, as holy as he is, he would have chosen anywhere else to live than inside of us. But he came to help us, and we can't get his help until we ask for it and we commune with him. Now, what are some of the roles? Well, let's take, first of all, the Bible. The Bible. Okay, I talked about this recently in a sermon. He's the teacher. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. It says, but the Holy Ghost knows all things, yea, the deep things of God. So when you get your Bible open in the morning or in the evening, and you read it and you begin to study it, you are now in the realm of the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure you can say, Father, teach me your word today. I'm sure he's okay with that. I'm sure you can say, Lord Jesus, teach me your word. I'm sure he's okay with that. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit is that teacher. The Holy Spirit is that teacher that has come to live inside of us. In fact, when Jesus just poured out his heart that night he was crucified, and he said this over and over and over again to his disciples. For instance, in John 14:26, he said this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So I would encourage you tonight that when you get your Bible, maybe you're really struggling here tonight and you're saying, boy, the Bible's just dry and dusty to me. It's not spiritual food. It's like eating sawdust. I don't get anything out of it. I think your whole life would change if you would open it and say, Holy Spirit, please teach me something today before I close this book. Show me something. That's his realm. You can ask for his help in his realm. And this book will become alive to you boys and girls, you adult senior citizens. Maybe some of you haven't had your Bible out in weeks or months. This whole thing can become new. How about prayer? That's another realm of the Holy Spirit. We read earlier, praying in the Holy Ghost. That means literally with the help of the Holy Spirit. We don't know how we ought to pray as we ought. Romans 8. Right? Romans 8:26. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings and utterings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. For he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. We have two prayer partners as we approach the Father. Proper prayer is to the Father through the Son with the help of the Holy Ghost. But we have two intercessors given to us. Twice in Hebrews, Jesus is called our intercessor. In Romans 8, the Holy Spirit is called our intercessor. Isn't that great? That we have two prayer partners who help us to pray. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you in your prayer life. I think your prayer life and mine will be much improved if we'll get on our knees and go through your worship. Go through your thanking God for all the blessings of the day that's previous and in the day to come, and go through your praise of God, and we ought to do all those things and not forget. But then when it comes to prayer time, you know, real prayer life will humble a person. You're not going to impress God in your prayer closet. Neither am I. You might as well just be dead honest with him. But if you'll come when it comes time to prayer and say, now, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know how to pray as I ought to. In fact, if I had gotten some of my prayers answered, Holy Spirit, it would have ruined me. It would have been the worst thing that ever happened to me if God would have answered some of the things I prayed for. So help me now, Holy Spirit, to pray. And the Holy Spirit will prompt you to pray. So help me. He'll prompt you all day long. You'll be riding along in your car and somebody will pop into your mind. And that's not just an accident. That's the Holy Spirit telling you to pray for that person. And lift up that person before the throne for some reason, like the missionary told us that dramatic story Wednesday night about the man back in the States praying for him at the same hour of his need when he was almost killed. And God came rushing to his help because somebody prayed. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Guidance. Guidance is another realm of the Spirit of God. In John 16 and verse number 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He'll guide you. He'll show you things to come. I know I'm using a secondary interpretation here, but that's a personal thing. If you want guidance in your life, you might not need to ask every human being you run across their opinion, because you may end up with 13 different opinions. It might just be the Holy Spirit knows what you need, and wants to guide you, and wants to show you the things to come in your life. I told you the story about becoming a pastor, and I decided, well, I'll counsel with every pastor I know. So I went to see 13 of them. 7 of them told me, absolutely not. It's kind of like Job's friends. We speak on the behalf of God. It's absolutely not God's will for you to be a pastor. You're not ready yet. You don't know enough yet. You haven't studied, you haven't learned, you haven't gone to college. Don't do it. And then six of them said, absolutely. We know it's absolutely God's will for you to be a pastor and to get a work started out there. Well, if I'd have gone in the majority, I'd have never done this. And I finally came to the point back then where I had to say, Holy Spirit, what do you think about this? Would you guide this matter? And he touched the hearts of six people to ask me to be their pastor. Make a long story short, and I said, well, that's the guidance I needed. Let's do it. Let's see if God's in it. Let's see what helps. What happens? How about comfort? I'm up to number four. I don't know what you're up to. Comfort. He is the comforter. John 14:26. When you need comfort, who's the closest one to you? The Holy Ghost. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Some people say, I know all this stuff. Yeah, maybe doctrinally. But do you know it practically? You know it practically. Guidance. You know that thing number three, guidance? Every mother can ask the Holy Spirit every day how to be a good mother to her children. Every father can ask the Holy Spirit every day, how can I be a good father to my children? Every husband can ask the Holy Spirit, what does my wife need today? Every wife can ask the Holy Spirit, what does my husband need today when he gets home? Every Sunday school teacher can say, you know, I think I need to just chuck this lesson. I think the Holy Spirit wants me to touch on this. They need this, and it better be the Holy Spirit. Watch out, too. Some people do crazy things in the name of the Holy Ghost. Wow. I mean, there's some crazy birds out there. The Holy Spirit led me to do this and so on and so forth. The Holy Spirit led me to do that. One guy said the Holy Spirit led him to stop by this garbage in front of somebody's house and pull a bird feeder out of it and give it to Pastor Cole. So that's great. I need a garbage bird feeder. I said, the Holy Spirit told you to do that. Yeah. All right. You know, all my years that I've been trying to walk in the Spirit, he's never told me to do anything crazy like that. Sometimes I wonder what's wrong with me. You meet people like that. I remember one guy went out and bought an expensive motorcycle. That's a long time ago. Man. I remember trying to work with the couple, thinking, man, why? His wife went to the roof because she was in charge of the finances. They had bills. They had debts. They were losing this and losing that. And he goes out and buys this motorcycle. I said, wow. He comes in one day and says to me, he used to come to this church. He says, I gave away my motorcycle. I said, you gave away your motorcycle? Yeah, he says, I was driving down the road, I saw this guy, and the Holy Spirit told me to go in and give him my motorcycle. You gave me a motorcycle? Yeah, no money? No. Just gave it away. Yeah. What'd your wife think of that? Oh, she wasn't happy with that at all. I mean, there's bizarre things out there in the name of the Holy Spirit, you know that? Just bizarre things. We got to watch out what we're doing and blame it. I don't know how I got on these things, but there's some people that say, oh, the Holy Spirit, and I'm thinking, man, he's never led me to do anything that insane, that crazy. He's always led me to provide for my family. He's always led me to pay my bills on time. He's always led me to give tithes and offerings and be a good steward of what little I may have. Try to give things away. Yeah, he's led me to give things away, you know, $20 here, $40 here, whatever. Thank God they're still together, this couple. And the Lord's worked some things out, but comfort, power. This is number five on my notes. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. One of the testimonies we heard tonight with your lady here is talking about her fears of soul winning. I have the same thing. But you work on through those fears, and you get out there, and you place yourself at the availability of God, and you pray for power. And you ask, Holy Spirit, give me power. And then you start to talk to people, and then something comes over you, and you, if you're not careful, you get proud about it, because all of a sudden this scripture comes in your mind, and this illustration comes in your mind, and this is exactly what they needed to hear, and this is what they did. Next thing you know, they're really under conviction of the Holy Spirit. They're getting saved, and you leave rejoicing, and there's been many times in my life where I said, wow, where did I get that from? And the power of the Holy Spirit was evident. We need power as parents. We need power as teachers. We need power as ministers. We need power as prayers. Give me power. We ought to ask the Holy Spirit for power. Number six, I have written down here, mortification. That's a big, long word that means putting to death the flesh. I don't know if any of you have any struggles with your flesh anymore, but I sure do. In fact, it's not leaving me alone the older I get. It seems like the more it's troubling me, the farther I want to go for the Lord. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, we see this is a realm of the Holy Ghost. It says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. Mortify means to put to death. Through the Spirit, that's his realm. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you to help you to put to death the flesh. And why don't you just be honest tonight? Every one of us in some area is struggling with our flesh. Maybe your struggle is different than mine. But we can go to the Holy Ghost and say, oh, Holy Ghost, help me to put this to death. It's too much for me. That's a realm of the Spirit. And boy, how many people have become castaways? How many people have become train wrecks spiritually because of the flesh? They maybe cried out to the Father and the Son for help, and they'll help, but that's the realm of the Holy Ghost. Colossians 3:5 says this, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication. Imagine that, to believers. The writer writes, fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. That means affections that aren't normal or natural. They're unseemly, they're perverse. Evil concupiscence. That's extremely strong desires for those things that are forbidden. Covetousness, idolatry. I suppose if believers had problems back in the church at Colossae, we do today too. With some really vile things of the flesh. That's a realm of the Holy Ghost. We need to say, Holy Spirit, I might as well be honest with you. You live inside of me anyway. You know it, and you see it, and you hear it, and watch it, and all that kind of stuff with me. Help me. That's his realm. How about music? I believe music is a realm of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I believe we've left this out in the church today. It says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Music is not as confusing as it has become in the body of Christ. There's psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in the Bible. That's it. It's not rock music. It's not contemporary music. There's not worship and praise. Worship is not tied to music in the Bible. The psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's not a difficult, there's only like 5 verses in the whole New Testament that even talk about music. But the key is to be filled with the Spirit. We've got to be filled with the Spirit to be able to speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we need to be saturated with the Word of God. It says in the book of Colossians, oops, I lost my place here. 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Notice that. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, and we're supposed to be filled with the Word of God. And then minister unto the Lord in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That kind of bugs me, some of these young punks running around America putting on rock concerts. They're not filled with the Word of God. They probably wouldn't know 10 verses if you put a gun up to their head. And they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Not the way they're living and looking and acting and dressing. And they're not. Holy Spirit doesn't lead someone to plaster their bodies with tattoos and pierce their bodies with all kinds of things and then stand up and say they're Christian musicians. It's not how the Spirit of God leads. And those that are filled with the Word of God know that's true. And I think we'd be better off letting the elder people in Christ write the songs of today. The Fanny Crosbys and people like that who've just saturated and memorized entire books of the Bible. Let those, they're the qualified ones. Let the Word of Christ dwell in your heart richly by faith. Then teaching and admonishing. You've got to know the Word before you can put the song, the beautiful songs these ladies singing tonight. That's from God, that stuff. Wonder where the Holy Ghost is today with music. But what about the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. That's the realm of the Spirit that helps us in our relationship with God. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. That's the realm of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that helps us in our relationship with our fellow man. Faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the realm of the Holy Spirit that helps us live with ourselves, our own personal faith, having meekness and temperance, self-control. I'm up to 16 now. I don't know where you're at. What about boldness? I think we touched on that earlier about witnessing. Acts 4, verse 31. They were filled with the Spirit. They spake the word with boldness. What about finally our bodies? What about our bodies? Boy, have you ever seen the body so desecrated as in this generation? In this country. Whatever happened to the clear teachings of the Word of God about the body being in the realm of the Holy Ghost? I'll read it and we'll close in prayer. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which you have of God and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And it just seems like previous generations of Christians all knew that the body is a temple. We can't just do anything we want. I know the devil has said that lie thousands and thousands and thousands of times, especially to women. It's your body, it's your body, it's your body, it's your body. The Bible says, no, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're bought with a price, the blood of Christ. Our body is God's. Our spirit is God's. We can't do what we want with our bodies. And that's a realm of the Holy Spirit where we've got to just sanctify ourselves and say, oh, Holy Spirit, help me to take care of my body. And I believe when the Holy Spirit really gets a hold of a man or a woman, he helps that person watch what they eat. They watch what they drink. They watch how they dress. They watch the testimony of their body. They try to take care of their body. They try to keep it healthy as they possibly can, and to be as good of an example as they can to this world. Our body. So there's about 18 realms of the Holy Spirit I've given you tonight. That when we commune with the Father, He's my Father. I'm His child. Lord, I need some money. Lord, I need a car. Lord, I need this and that. And he knows what things we have need of before we ask Him. That's His realm. When I commune with the Son, it's mostly about the fact, Jesus, you know what I'm going through. You know what it's like to be tired. You know what it's like to be hated. You know what it's like to be reviled and persecuted. And you know what it's like to suffer and to be tempted by Satan, even though he was without sin. So I relate to Him in that realm. The Holy Spirit realm. Man, if we're here tonight, we need love. And I need love. That's the realm of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Say, Holy Spirit, I don't have any love. You ever say that? I have. Man, Holy Spirit, I've gotten hard-headed, hard-hearted. I don't love anybody. Help me. And boy, then He helps. Did you ever lose your peace? Start getting overwhelmed with worrying and fretting? Losing your sleep? That's the realm of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me peace. Do you ever lose your joy? It's the realm of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Do you ever lose your patience with some other human being? Probably not. Maybe I'm the only one that has. Holy realm of the Spirit is long-suffering. Do you ever feel like really just laying it on somebody and then it's meekness, gentleness? And you say, boy, I can't do this, man. I'm ready to rip into this person next time I see him. You got to help me here. And the Holy Spirit helps you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd bless now as we dismiss in song. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just at least get the wheels of our minds and hearts turning tonight about looking at prayer in a different way, maybe than we have before, and maybe advancing farther in the school of prayer than we ever have before. Thank you that you're a God that puts up with our prayers, even if they're inaccurate. But Lord, I believe you would want to perfect our prayer lives a little bit tonight, that we might look at the Trinity as an all-helpful God who ministers to us in different realms. And maybe some have never thought about the realms where the Holy Spirit wants to help us. And we pray, Lord, that we would tonight. And now just help us in the application of it day by day, that we would ask the Holy Spirit to help us in those realms that we've seen in the Word and others that I've missed. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close the service and stand. When you find 534 in your blue book, we'll pray, or we'll sing rather, and invite you to come to the altar and pray. And